The three demos here technically predate Twinkle Park entirely. I wanted to write cutesy acoustic instrumental music back then. Yuck! I'm kidding. It's just hilarious how different what I make now is. Settle was the first thing I ever recorded by myself. I used an ancient microphone I bought as a child to make Let's Plays with and drum samples from Animal Crossing Wild World, and one of those vintage consumer-grade Casio keyboards. I like this thing. It's slinky and dinky in ways that I think are charming. End 2 was supposed to be the second track on an EP that never got made. It's old enough I don't think I have the other songs anymore, but they're nothing special, I assure you. The third of the three demos is itself three demos that were written just before I decided to make Twinkle Park. I don't remember their purpose. I was probably just writing for the sake of writing. I should write for the sake of writing more often. So with these orange tracks comes the origin story for Twinkle Park. They appear here in the order I wrote them, and they were the first three songs I ever wrote for the project. A band I was in at the time was driving home from a show, and it just kind of hit me all at once, totally unrelated to anything. Like, man, I really want to make electronic music. If the music I'm writing solo is acoustic-focused, I want to experiment with making something that's totally computer-centric. I want to make shoegaze, I want to write songs with vocals, and I want to use Vocaloid. And so I did just that. I got home and I wrote Lester. Then I pirated Hatsune Miku, I had her sing the simplest vocal part in the world, and Twinkle Park was born. Not the name, though. That came later. Twinkle Park has been a Vocaloid project since day one, or more specifically, a vocal synth project since I've used Utao and now almost exclusively use Synthvi. I just love the tech so much. It's so fascinating and exciting to me, both as an exploration of the sort of transcendent life a character has outside their context, like how certain personality traits are universally ascribed to them, although that's never been a facet of my music, and just like the simple fact that I can plug some lyrics and a melody into a piece of software and have the voice behind some of my favorite songs ever perform something I wrote. Also, plainly, it's really convenient, and the control over the nuances of a vocal track is something I'm not allowed anywhere else. It's freeing to not have to worry about actually singing something, but also not putting my words into another human being's mouth. Like, I don't want to put that on someone else. Anyway, back to Orange. This will sound insane because nobody was listening to my music to begin with, but I had actually intended to release it under a pseudonym and never attach it to myself directly. It was easily the most vulnerable set of songs I'd ever written, not just because it put a voice and words to the feelings I was imbuing into the music, but because I thought it was way too weird and rough around the edges, and I didn't even know if it was any good in the first place, so I didn't think my friends would like it. That's why some of the titles on that original release were ironic, and why they originally opened and closed with stupid in-joke samples. I decided to fix that and restore one of the titles to its original title, the one I used before I got self-conscious about all of it. By the time I'd assembled a release, though, I realized I actually was kind of proud of it. And, you know, looking back, oh Jesus Christ, 7 years later almost, I am proud of it. When I read the last movement of Sweethearts, I couldn't believe my ears. Like, shit, I wrote that. It was electrifying. It's hardly anything special now, but that repeating melody is still one of my favorite things I've ever written, in part for that reason. That's why it appears somewhere in every album I've ever written since. But because that record has been offline for so long, because I wasn't proud of it for so long, that reference was just for me, and for me only. But I'm comfortable with letting other people in on it now. Alright, we're coming up on the end here. Thanks for sticking it out. The last stretch of songs is a 5-track EP that predates Twinkle Park. They were based on demos I was writing around the time I wrote that demo, End 2. very, very loosely based, that is. Those demos were fucking horrible, but what you're about to hear sounds, well, really slick. That's because they were recorded extremely generously by a friend of mine over a long weekend who wound up guiding the project and pushing it in directions I always wanted but didn't know how. I learned so much from that experience, and while I can't remember why it never got released, watching someone's process for recording and expanding upon these very simple ideas I brought completely revolutionized my sort of musical tool belt, so to speak. I'd go on to use what I observed, or the versions I remembered, when writing parts for bands I was in. I'd eventually record for those bands, and I'd use more of what I observed during those sessions when doing so. I became the go-to audio engineer among my friends and bandmates, and for a brief stint thought I'd be a producer first, solo artist second. I can safely say the way I create music is my own now, but at its core, it's an iterative amalgamation of traits made up from every single person I've ever worked on music with, and who's been generous enough to help me. It was all invaluable, and I'm really grateful for it. The last song of this batch, the sixth song, is actually the first completed song I ever had a hand in, which was also recorded and mixed by that same friend. It has vocals by Alyssa on it, and it was our first time collaborating, just shortly after we had started dating. There's still one more song after that, though, as you can see, but I'll get to that.